Welcome to episode 233 of the 1010 Thrive podcast, brought to you by 1010 Thrive Ministries. I'm Peter Anderson, 1010 Thrive, 10 minutes a day based on 10 guidelines for abundant living. Today, we continue our study of the book of 1 Corinthians. Galatians 5 verse 13, "For you were called to freedom, brothers, only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love, serve one another." Spiritual arrogance had caused some Corinthians to have a warped understanding of freedom. They actually believed that their freedom had lifted them above the norms of Christian morality, above tradition, and even above sexual role distinctions. Paul quotes their slogan in 1 Corinthians 6 verse 12, and again in 1 Corinthians 10 verse 23. "All things are lawful." In each case, Paul quickly brings a corrective to this boast. This warped understanding, this spiritual arrogance that many of the Corinthians had, is found in the church among many church members today. Some of us think that grace has granted us the freedom from the law rather than freedom in the law. But let's stick with the church at Corinth. Their supposed exalted status had made irrelevant or even praiseworthy offenses of all kinds, including sexual immorality. Paul draws special attention to one flagrant case of such. One man is living with his stepmother in an incestuous relationship. This affair is common knowledge in the Christian community. No attempt had been made to conceal it. On the contrary, some had boasted about it because it demonstrated their freedom from the moral restrictions of conventional religious life. While at first we may be shocked to think that a church member would boast concerning sexual sin, yet we still see people today who believe that their spirituality places them above reproof. This issue is alive from pulpit to pew. Popular pastors and evangelists of various denominational persuasions have been guilty of sexual sin. Some appear truly repentant, but others give the impression that such behavior does not affect them. Their superior gifts and advanced spirituality has placed them on a level beyond that of an average believer. Behavior that once was frowned upon is now excused, ignored, or even accepted. We must constantly beware of a distorted view of spirituality which divorces itself from ethical conduct. In 1 Corinthians 6, Paul is finishing up his address of several specific sins the Corinthian believers were tolerating. Some church members were taking advantage of each other. In 1 Corinthians 6, Paul identifies several specific sins the Corinthian believers were tolerating. Some church members were taking advantage of each other in court, and others were practicing immorality. In this context, he says this in verse 12. "All things are lawful for me, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any." In this verse, Paul seems to be anticipating an argument from those who justify their sin in the name of Christian liberty. His point is that liberty has limitations. He moves right into proofs that sexual immorality is at odds with the Christian life, and no amount of Christian liberty can excuse it. The NIV translation of 1 Corinthians 6 verse 12 brings out more clearly the idea that Paul is quoting those who objected to his reprimand. "I have the right to do anything, you say, but not everything is beneficial. I have the right to do anything, but I will not be mastered by anything." It seems that some within the Corinthian church were using "I have the right to do anything" as a mantra, repeating it whenever they were questioned about their behavior. Paul responds to their mantra by adding his own clauses, but not everything is beneficial. And, but I will not be mastered by anything. Even if all things were lawful, not everything should be done, and nothing should be allowed to enslave us as a sinful habit. There are other curious problems that emerge from an arrogant insistence on freedom. The matter of eating meat offered to idols or attending events at a pagan temple was for some an issue of freedom. Why should they not eat the meat offered to idols? Some of the weak brethren were offended. That was their problem and a sign of their spiritual weakness. Paul makes the case that eating meat sold in the marketplace is not wrong in itself. However, if eating meat offered to idols causes anyone to stumble, then that activity becomes wrong. The NIV words 1 Corinthians 10 verse 23 this way, I have the right to do anything you say, but not everything is beneficial. I have the right to do anything, but not everything is constructive. So Christian liberty is limited by at least two considerations. What is the effect of this action upon oneself? And what influence will this action have on Jews, Greeks, or the Church of God as a whole? Our goal must be to seek the good of others, not just our own good. The right of a woman to pray or prophesy in public had almost certainly become an issue of freedom from some of the women intent on making a public statement. Thus, they were willing to neglect the traditions of the church or proper decorum in the worship service. Paul corrected this distorted no laws mentality with his insistence that the truly mature, spiritual person would gladly surrender personal freedom for the sake of the gospel and the need of the brethren. Spiritual arrogance. Those two words should never be together. However, all too often, the religious are known more for their pride than their piety. There is a strong temptation to glory in our reputation or size or works or accuracy or intellect and our ability until we have solidly enthroned ourselves at the center of our faith. Purging ourselves of any trace of pride is a matter of survival. The proverb, pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall, applies to saints and sinners alike. There are local churches that teeter on the brink of extinction because they're infected with pride. There are believers who are just one temptation away from rebellion because they feed their own self-centeredness. The problem is that pride brings its own set of blinders. We can see arrogance in others, but we carefully rationalize and excuse our own. Yet a careful examination of Scripture has a way of dragging the ugliness of our pride out into the light of day. Few places identify the origins and the destruction of pride more clearly than Paul's letters to the church in Corinth. Pride was the wound through which all kinds of spiritual infection invaded the local body of Christ, and a biopsy of the Corinthian church reveals the ugliness of spiritual arrogance among the people of God. They were proud of their knowledge, proud of their talent, proud even of their tolerance, and proud in being a part of the body of believers. Father, give us the humility it takes to enter the kingdom. That's our episode. Remember that God calls you not only to live, but to thrive. Live life to the full today.